everybody. This is Charles with the Barbershop Group Podcast today.
And this is Riley, your co-host.
And today we have on the show Joshua Ireland, who's going to be talking to us about the state of men today. And Josh comes to us out of Washington State, and he also shares the same interest that we have in trying to help men be better and kind of uncovering some of the hidden nature of masculinity and of men. So, Josh, are you there? How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, man, I am okay. I'm okay. Thank you for joining us today. And, you know, I know that it's a few hours behind us, over there in Washington State. You're probably, it's about 9 o'clock in the morning over there. Is that right? 9 or 10?
Absolutely. Yeah. It's a little after
nine.
Pleasure to be here though.
You know, as you know, the Barbershop Group, is all about addressing the issues of men. We do that all day, every day. And we talk about, psychological issues. We talk about spiritual issues. We talk about financial wellness and physical health as well, because we believe that those are four areas of life where guys, we don't like to say we suck, but let's face it, if we're honest, if we're looking in the mirror, right, we got some issues there. Josh, you know, for you, man, I mean, you're writing with a Good Men Project, and a lot of guys are familiar with the Good Men Project. Can you tell us how you got started writing with the Good Men Project? It's a wonderful organization.
I had a desire to write an article that kind of gave an overview of where I thought the men's movement, or, you know, I hesitate to say men's rights because that's affiliated with some really negative things. But just, you know, the state of masculinity today is, I guess, where I'm at. And yeah. So I wrote this article, and I put a lot of effort into trying to make it convey my message as best as possible. And then I had been reading the Good Men Project. I knew of them. I had read articles from them, and I decided I would submit it, and they responded really positively and posted it pretty quickly. It was I was pretty excited about it, actually.
Okay, that was awesome, man. That's good stuff. Like I said, it's an organization that gets a lot of attention, especially on social media, and they bring some awareness to masculinity. But I wanted to ask you a question really quick, since you mentioned that when you talk about men's rights and men's movement. So, you know, in your mind, what's the difference between talking about men's overall wellness and health and the men's rights movement? Is there a difference at all?
Absolutely. And I think that the fundamental difference between the two things is that when you're talking about men and masculinity and overall health, you're talking about how men can move forward into being more healthy psychologically, financially, emotionally, physically, all these ways. And it's about moving forward, about taking the step forward. And these men's rights organizations are about pulling us back, like looking back at the way things were and saying, that's how we need to be. It's kind of a revisionist look at masculinity, that the masculinity from before was the masculinity that should be happening now. And when I say before, it's generally, I think it's before the feminist movement, before in their idea that feminism kind of messed things up, which I don't agree with at all. But I think that that's the fundamental difference between the two things, is one's about moving forward and one's about trying to go back.
So, Josh, I have kind of, there's two questions that pop up for me when you say that. First, when you talk about the kind of the difference between the wellness focused or oriented or futuristic orient, moving forward, those kinds of groups versus the revisionist perspective. What role do you think power dynamics play in the difference between those two perspectives? Power meaning of, you know, gender and race and class and all the, you know, just across all the different levels in society, the power roles that males typically had traditionally versus where we stand.
Right. I think that plays a huge role. Because I think what you're talking about is when you're moving forward, you're having to accept that we're all equals and move towards allowing for equality and equity among other people, that women are capable of all kinds of things that previous iterations of masculinity didn't allow for. And the previous way of doing things, men had all the power. It's such a complex thing. It's hard to put succinctly, but I read a quote not that long ago that I thought put it really well. And it was that if you have always had privilege, equality would feel like discrimination. And I think that really gets at what's happening there, is that we've always had this privilege. We've enjoyed privilege. And when you start to talk about equality, it starts to feel to these guys like you're talking about, oh, we're taking it out on you, that there's discrimination against them now, which is just really not the case.
That's beautiful, beautifully said.
Yeah, it's funny, you know, guys, that you mentioned that, Josh, because that's exactly the expression or the iteration that you hear from a lot of people in the status quo. As soon as they're talking about, as soon as someone jumps up and talks about equality, the people who have always had the power start speaking about their victimization or worrying about, you know, being victimized. And it's like, well, wait a minute. We're just talking about an egalitarian society right now, and you've turned it into somebody attacking you. Huh.
Right. And I think that, you know, I've tried to make this point a couple of times in my article and in this article that's coming out, is that a lot of these, in order to make this progress, movements have had to point out things that were wrong with the power, wrong with, you know, hegemonic masculinity, you know, traditional gender roles, wrong with patriarchy, all the things that were wrong with those things. And what some of these guys hear is that masculinity is wrong, that being a man is wrong. And I think that they're just misunderstanding the message, or they're maybe willfully misunderstanding. But I think a lot of guys, especially like the average guy, what they hear is being a man is wrong. And that's not the case, you know?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And there's a lot of people who, when we talk about stuff like toxic masculinity, when we talk about toxic masculinity, a lot of guys express the feeling that just to be a man, it's like, well, what are you saying? Being male is bad. I'm bad because I'm male. So really quick, to piggyback off of that, you know, why have men turned the conversation about men and the conversation about toxic masculinity, why have they turned it into a politically charged thing?
You know, I think that, I mean, we could spend a whole podcast talking just about that aspect of things. There's a lot of really deep reasons. And I think that just to kind of hit the surface, the progressive movement, the movement towards women's rights, towards civil rights for everybody, towards LGBTQ rights, all of these movements have found a home on one side of the political spectrum. And there are a lot of reasons for that. But as a result, the other side of the political spectrum has posted themselves up as anti the other side. Because for a long time now, our country has done this us versus them thing in politics. And so if you're going to say you're for this, then I have to say I'm against it. Mm-hmm. I think there are deeper reasons for it. There are fundamental reasons that go down to the core of what it means to be conservative and what it means to be liberal. But I think that to some extent, this is what's happening.
I got you. I see.
Josh, well, I think I'm loving that we just dove right into this, because this is some serious stuff. I want to talk about identity. When we talk about how, you know, the conversation now has moved to, you know, it's bad to be a male, and we talk about toxic masculinity and things like that. I'm assuming that we're looking backwards, and we're talking about masculinity, how it was defined previously and traditionally. And we used words like strong, but also toughness and powerful and things like that, which most often are accompanied with privilege. And when we move to a more equal way of being and living, we're attacking that privilege, but it feels like we're also attacking the identity then. And so I think that's where some of the when you use the word or when people use the word crisis, I think that's where that word starts to pop up. So I'm wondering what your thoughts are on where identity for men and for masculinity is now, and where you think it should go.
Well, I think that I think you're absolutely right. I think, you know, but I think that this is why we need to do a redefinition of masculinity. And back to what I was saying before, where guys hear that being a man was wrong. You know, there are aspects of traditional masculinity that are not healthy, and not just not healthy for the people around men, but not healthy for the men themselves.
Well, like, can I interrupt you there? Like, what can you give me some, just for the listeners, what are some, like, even just one example of how something might not be healthy, especially for those who are like shaking their heads right now listening, like, I'm not so sure about this.
The emotional restrictiveness, just the idea that, you know, the traditional gender norm for men is that we don't express emotion. We don't cry. We don't, you know, we're not sad or upset or depressed. We don't have any of those emotions. And for the people around us, that means that we only are allowed to really express anger, which is not a fun thing to be around. But it also means that we don't empathize with people, so we don't treat them in ways that we would like them to be treated or that we would like to be treated. But it also means that we cut off that whole part of who we are. I have to suffer in silence when I go through something traumatic because I can't express it to even people, the people that are closest to me. And then when I don't express my emotions and allow for the emotions of others, then I don't connect with them on any deeper level. And I mean, we're all humans are social animals. If you're not connecting with other people, I mean, you're living an anemic form of human experience. So I think that, you know, you suffer with depression and you can't say anything to anyone and you can't tell anyone that you're feeling depressed. And so you just suffer in silence, but you don't have to do that. And then you take it out on other people because instead of saying, you know, I feel really sad about this thing, you just get angry because you can be angry. Do you see what I'm saying? And I think that this is part of the source of why, you know, the majority of people who are committing suicide in our country are men. Or who are successfully committing suicide are men because they don't have anyone to talk to because they feel like they can't. They're not even supposed to have those emotions.
Yeah, I think you articulate that so well, and it almost sounds like if I'm getting this right, that our past identity in masculinity is restrictive, not just because we're not allowing ourselves to feel or express certain emotions, but it's because of that, and that's just a part of the problem. It's restricting our identity as a human being, and really right. limiting finding out or realizing who we really are as humans, not even just men. And I know I know I also asked you, Josh, too, what direction you think we're headed, and I think you had said that we needed to have kind of a redefine what that means.
Right. So traditionally, I think you even brought up that it was, you know, strength and toughness are traditionally associated with men. I don't think that we need to get rid of that. I think that we need to reframe that a little bit. That you have to have strength to be able to tell someone close to you, man, I'm really feeling messed up about this thing. I can't get it out of my head. And it's really causing me a lot of pain. And I'm feeling depressed. If you've ever told somebody that you're feeling depressed, you wouldn't understand how much absolute strength that takes to say to somebody, and you immediately feel better. So if we can reframe that just a little bit, like, are you brave enough to be emotionally connected to your fellow men? Are you strong enough to be vulnerable in front of another man? And I think that, you know, oftentimes guys are able to do that with a woman that's really close to them, like their girlfriend or their wife or just a friend, right? And that's great. But I think that there's a key difference between doing that with a woman and doing that with a man. And the difference is that when I do it with a man, when I tell my friend that I'm feeling depressed and that it's really bothering me and that I need some help and I just want to talk to him about it, I'm not only getting that off of my chest, but I am in some small way redefining what it means to be a man. I am performing masculinity in front of him. And part of that performance is me expressing my emotions.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I definitely get that. I couldn't agree more with you. And sometimes I say, Josh, to people in my life, I say that, you know, if men don't have good relationships with men, then they're not going to have good relationships with women.
Right.
And sometimes I push back, but there's a lot of research out there and stuff. And so having said that there's a research, you know, I asked you why you thought that all of this attention on men was being politicized. And a lot of people just aren't well informed. But Joshua, you are. This is something that you have been studying for a long period of time, and you know that it's not about the feminists who are coming up with this rhetoric about men. It's actually something in the halls of academia that supports the idea is that men haven't been living the best, healthiest lives, right? So what are you finding in the halls of academia that, that men need to know?
Well, I think, you know, when I first really discovered all of this and I realized that there's literally decades of research on men and masculinity, and that I didn't know about it, having been somebody who was looking for this information, it made me realize that I needed to find a way to kind of translate that information from, you know, two PhDs talking to each other to what the average guy needed to hear from that research.
Amen.
And there's a lot of different things. There's a lot of different things that I'm finding in the research. And a lot of it has to do with men's restrictive emotions, that we restrict our emotions because we feel like we have to, and that we start doing that at a very early age. You know, young kids are free to express emotions. Little boys will tell you they're sad. Little boys will cry without hesitation. All of those things, the full range of human emotions are present in little boys. But at some point around adolescence, we start to realize that there's this larger concept of what it means to be a man. And we start enforcing it on ourselves and on our peers. So you end up in a peer group and you're upset because somebody did something and you cry, and then all your friends make fun of you for it. And then you learn, I can't cry. I'm not allowed to cry. And they don't make fun of you for it just like you're a baby. That's one thing. That would be about immaturity. But they make fun of you for it as not being a man. They call you gay, right, or they call you a woman or a sissy or any number of things, right?
Yeah. Right?
Right. Are you a girl? You're crying like a little girl. And that is different than saying you're a baby. That's saying you're not a man. And so you start to realize, oh, as a man, I'm not allowed to express that. And over years and years of us doing this to ourselves, we get to a point where we don't even know how to express that anymore. And there's all kinds of research that shows men, I mean, one of the roadblocks to men being able to express their emotions is they just don't have the vocabulary. They just don't know how to say it at all. How do we give men that tool, you know?
Well, I'm happy you went there, Josh, because it seems like there's something lost in the transition from boyhood to manhood. And something you actually wrote in your article, I wanted to ask you about. That article, by the way, is The New Man, a primer on what it means to be a man in the 21st century on the Good Men Project. Go give it a read, guys. It's pretty good. And one of the lines you had in there, Josh, was, and I pulled this out, it was, any man worth his salt welcomes competition. And you go on to talk about how challenge makes us better and how it's vital to manhood. And so I wanted to ask you, what is it about challenge and competition that defines or contributes to your understanding or your definition of masculinity?
Well, a lot of that is based on some research that was actually sociological research that was done in various different cultures looking at how boys became men. And what they found was that it masculinity might show up differently in different cultures, but in pretty much every culture, at some point, a boy has to come out and prove to everybody that he's a man. He now says, I am a man, and then everybody treats him like a man. It's a public thing. And I think that we thrive on that, you know, that we want to be recognized as men. And so we look for challenges. We look for competition. We want to play sports. We want to do different things that are going to be like, look how good I am at being me, you know? And I think that, you know, toxic masculinity takes that and says, well, look how many women I can sleep with, right? It plays on that. And this is what I'm going to hang my hat on as masculine. But I think that we can get away from that and still challenge ourselves to be better. And when I wrote that in the article, I was kind of talking about that, you know, what happens as a result of the feminist movement and the women's rights movement was that now we have women in the workforce, and women are completely capable, every bit as capable of as a man, which means there's increased competition in the workforce. And some guys are intimidated by that, but I see it as, absolutely. I want more challenge in the workforce, because if you're doing better, then I have to do better. And then we're all doing better, right? Like, rise to the challenge. Don't push it away and say, oh no, this isn't the way it should be.
Yeah, embrace it.
Does that answer your question? Yeah, embrace it. Absolutely. Why not? We can all be better. Yeah. Let's be better. Like, doesn't that sound good?
Right.
You know, like, challenge yourself to be better. And, you know, challenge your people around you to be better. You know, don't you, I go back to, I have a wife, I have sisters, I have a daughter, I want them to be the best that they can be too. Not just my son, not just me and my brother, right?
Yeah.
We all should be the best we can be.
So Josh, as we get ready to wrap up, I just want everybody to know, guys, you have been listening to Joshua Ireland, who is a PhD candidate out at Walden University and currently resides in Washington State. He's earning his PhD in clinical psychology, and his focus is really good men, okay, trying to figure out what's really going on with us guys. And, a lot of times I know that you listeners out there will say, oh, man, here's another woman. Where are the men? Well, Josh is helping us get there, okay? Josh is also a husband and a father of two, and writes for the Good Men Project. And Josh, you mentioned something about an upcoming article in the Good Men Project. Can you talk to us? Can you give us just a little snippet of what we're in store for, what we've got to look forward to with this upcoming article?
The upcoming article is on friendship, male friendship. Now, before we talked about the masculine idea that we have to be emotionally restrictive, that we can't express our emotions to people. And when we don't express our emotions, we don't form deeper bonds. And those deeper bonds have a lot of psychological benefit to them. But what that really means is that we don't actually form really deep, long-lasting friendships with other men. And the article really is just talking about why that happens and maybe what we can do to change that a little bit. Why it's important for us to form friendships with our fellow men. I try to make the point in the article that we were just talking about competition and that we should compete with each other, but we're not in competition with each other for like vital resources. We're all brothers here. You know, I'm competing to be the best I am, and you're competing to do the best you are. I want you to do the best you can. I'm trying to lift you up. Like we can be in competition with ourselves and lift each other up to do the best we can. I think that if we can find a way to do that, then we can move forward as men.
Mm. So what is your one takeaway you want the listeners to leave, today's talk with? What do you want them to take away from your work and from your conversation today?
Just that, that there is a way for us to be strong and emotional at the same time, that there's a way for us to be better than we are, even if we think we're pretty good now. And that being a man is not a bad thing. Being a man is great. But if you're going to enjoy the benefits, then you also need to like share the benefits, right? Like you need to help lift people up. We need to push for the things that are right. You know, part of being a man is being strong and having your voice heard. Well, stand up for the people who need you to stand up for them. So I guess that's what I want to do.
Well said.
I hear you. Really, that would definitely well said. Good stuff. Well, guys, again, you've been listening to Joshua Ireland. If you would like to follow Joshua, you can follow him on LinkedIn. You can find him on LinkedIn at Joshua Ireland. You can follow him on Twitter at Joshua Ireland 13. That's Joshua Ireland 13. You can follow him on Instagram at Ireland_Joshua. He's also on Facebook. Again, just look up his name, Joshua Ireland, or you can Google the Good Men Project and type in Joshua Ireland and find him there, as well as on WordPress. Okay. And it's been great to have you on the show today, Josh. Again, we thank you for spending some time with us. We thank you for the work that you are doing to help men like ourselves. It's always appreciated. And we hope that you will have a good day out there and a good weekend. So guys, we will talk to you soon.